Welcome to Truth for Today, the Bible Explained, a Christian ministry program that endeavors to accurately teach God's Word in order to challenge, encourage, and edify listeners. Today, we continue our talks on an outline of Joshua, with David Pullman speaking about chapters 13 to 18, Joshua nears retirement.
Before we commence our talk, I will just say that the scriptures used in this talk will be from the Authorised King James Version, unless otherwise stated. The end of Joshua chapter 12 provides a list of the kings that Joshua and the people of Israel had destroyed in accordance with God's command to go into Canaan and take possession. This was according to the promise that God had given to Abraham, that the land would be given to him and to his descendants. It did not happen immediately, as we read in Genesis. It was the grandson of Abraham, Jacob, who went down to Egypt, where Joseph provided for them in the best of the land of Egypt. But eventually, after a few hundred years, they became slaves in Egypt. However, God raised up a deliverer, Moses, and God used him to take the people out of Egypt. Sadly, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Then Joshua was given the responsibility to lead the people into the promised land and take possession. The campaign was long and hard, and as we close chapter 12, we note that 31 kings had been defeated. Chapter 13. The Lord gives instruction to Joshua. This chapter opens with the words, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." Joshua 13:1. In verses 2 to 7, Joshua is given instruction as to the remaining tribes to be conquered, and that the land needs to be divided among the 9.5 tribes for a possession. We are reminded in verses 8 to 13 that there were 2.5 tribes who took possession of land on the other side of the River Jordan, although some of the nations there were not completely expelled from the land that the tribes possessed. We are also reminded that the tribe of Levi was not given an area of land for themselves, like the other tribes. Levi was the priestly tribe, and their function was to deal with the sacrifices that the people brought to the Lord. Verse 14. Verses 15 to 32 provide the detail of the land that was given to the 2.5 tribes, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. Then in verse 33, we are reminded again of the distinction that the tribe of Levi had in the nation of Israel. Moses had stated that the Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. However, we should not overlook verse 22, a reference to Balaam, slain by Israel when Moses was still leading the nation towards the River Jordan. The detail of Balaam's opposition to Israel can be found in the book of Numbers, chapters 22 to 23. These chapters are worth reading after listening to this talk. Now, the book of Joshua is an Old Testament book, but Christians are not allocated land to settle down in this world. We are a people who have been brought out of the world, redeemed and set apart for God through the death of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. Our inheritance is not physical, but spiritual. All our blessings are found in a risen Saviour who now sits at God's right hand in the glory. We do not have an area of land allocated to the Church of God. For convenience, we may rent or own a building to have a base where we hold our services such as remembering the Lord, as he asked us to do, just before he was crucified, gospel services, and other activities. Ephesians, at the beginning of chapter 1, states, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Verses 3-4. Israel's blessing was the land of Canaan, but the Christian's blessings are in Christ in heavenly places. Chapter 14, The Land Divided, Caleb's Inheritance. We will read all this chapter. "And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs, for their cattle, and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's for ever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. And the land had rest from war. Joshua 14, verses 1 to 15. In verses 1 to 5, we find Joshua, Eleazar the priest, and the leaders of the 9 and a half tribes begin organizing the distribution of the remainder of the land. In this we see Joshua stepping back from being active in leading the remainder of the conquest. However, he does not relinquish full control, but starts to involve other senior members of the tribes. At this point, Caleb came forward to claim an additional inheritance within the borders of the land allocated to the tribe of Judah. It was what Moses had promised him because of his faithfulness in spying out the land. Both Caleb and Joshua had remained firm that the land was theirs for the taking, but the 10 other representatives of the nation could only see the problems and persuaded the people not to go up and take possession. This resulted in 40 years of wandering in the desert until all that generation died, leaving only Joshua and Caleb to enter the land. We learn from these few verses that it is good to share responsibility, especially when becoming older, so that others may be ready to take over when we are called home to glory. Also, we need to be like Caleb to see the positive and believe what the Lord has given us to do, we are able to accomplish with the Lord's help. Verses 6 to 15. These verses give us the detail of Caleb reminding Joshua what Moses had promised. It was not a blank check. Caleb had to go and possess his possession, as verse 9 shows. Caleb does not forget the goodness of the Lord in keeping him alive during the past 45 years, and his strength had not diminished at all during that time. It was amazing that at 85 years old, he was as strong as when he was 45, but it was the Lord who maintained him. However, as we become older, we may step back from a lot of activity, but it is not envisaged that we give up serving the Lord entirely, as Ephesians states, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Chapter 2, verse 10, ESV. A Christian is not to live as the people of the world, but to be involved in good works. One such good work is reaching out with the gospel, and this can be done in various ways. But we must be focused to win souls for Christ. Chapter 15, Judah's Inheritance, and more about Caleb. We will not read all this chapter, only verses 13 to 19. Unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Deba, and the name of Deba before was Kirjath-Sepher. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher, and taketh it, to him I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. The first part of chapter 15 details the boundary for the tribe of Judah. But we return to Caleb. So in verses 13 to 19, we find Caleb being successful in claiming a special portion of the land for himself. We also find reference to Caleb's daughter. Caleb gave out a challenge to the young men of the tribe of Judah, saying, "He that smiteth Kirjath Sepha and taketh it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, to wife." Verse 16. We might wonder, was Caleb not capable? I think the reverse is true. He was looking for a strong husband for Aksa, someone with leadership qualities. The person who responds is Caleb's nephew, Othniel. Othniel was a warrior, and he captured Kirjath Sepha and so gained his bride. Aksa persuades Othniel to ask her father for land, but we find that Aksa wants more than just land. She wants springs of water. So in verse 19, Caleb grants his daughter both upper and lower springs of water. Land needs water for both crops and livestock. Springs of water would remind us of the activity of the Spirit of God, giving refreshment through the Scriptures, that believers might be refreshed, that growth in the truth might become a normal part of our lives. It is therefore important to read the Scriptures daily and to meet with other believers for the strengthening of our faith. This chapter 15 highlights in detail the boundaries of the tribe of Judah, and we have illustrated in Othniel and Aksa those who valued the inheritance that the Lord was giving to his people. But at the end of the chapter, in verse 63, we find that not everything went well for Judah. They could not drive out the Jebusites from Jerusalem. They remained unconquered, and it was not until the days of King David that the Jebusites were finally conquered, although some still lived in Jerusalem. This might illustrate to us that there can be corners of our lives which are still not clear of something from the world. It may not be evil, but it could be simply worldly, and therefore a waste of space in our lives. Chapter 16, Ephraim's Inheritance. In the first four verses of the chapter, we have the details of the land allocated to Joseph. Now, Joseph had two children born to him in Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim. Joseph's father, Jacob, blessed them and gave the two sons equal share in the family, and as such were each considered as a tribe in Israel. The remaining verses of the chapter outline Ephraim's boundaries, but there was an overlap into the land allocated to Manasseh. However, they had a greater problem than Judah, as they could not subdue the Canaanites, and as a result, the Canaanites dwelt among the tribe of Ephraim. Thankfully, our inheritance as believers is centered in the heavenlies and connected with the man Christ Jesus in heaven. But we do live in the world. As such, we daily mix with those who are not Christian, whether this is at school, college, university, work, shopping, and much more. We need to have a good relationship with people, even if we do not share their interests. Romans 12:18 states, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." This is very much different to Israel and their occupation of the land of Canaan. For Christians, it is a challenge as to how much we become involved with non-believers, as we are told to do good to everyone. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, ESV. There is a great need for spiritual discernment. Chapter 17. Ephraim and Manasseh have challenges. As this is a long chapter, I will only refer to a few verses. We now come to Manasseh and their portion in the land, but they also had problems driving out the Canaanites, so the conquest of the land was becoming incomplete. Also, the borders of their territory with other tribes was blurred, as verse 11 indicates. It was not clear-cut with the tribes of Issachar and Asher. However, we must not miss the interesting story of the daughters of Zelophehad, Mahlah, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah, because their father had no sons. These five daughters had approached Moses and requested equal status with other male members in the tribe of Manasseh. Moses brought the matter to the Lord, and the Lord's decision was that they should have equal share when the land was divided. See verses 3 to 6, which state, "But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, but daughters. And these are the names of his daughters, Mahlah and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, 'The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren.' Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among their brethren of their father, and there fell 10 portions to Manasseh, beside the land of Gilead and Bashan, which were on the other side of Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, and the rest of Manasseh's sons had the land of Gilead." Joshua 17, verses 3 to 6. Not everything was working out as the Lord intended. Verses 12 to 13 show the failure of this tribe to not entirely drive out the Canaanites. The Canaanites therefore shared the land, sometimes serving the tribe of Manasseh and sometimes not. From verse 14 to the end of chapter 17, we find that the two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, complained that they had not enough land, so Joshua allocates further land for them to possess. Because they had not driven out the Canaanites in what was first allocated to them, they felt their land entitlement was not sufficient. Therefore, asking for more was one way of covering up their failure to drive out the Canaanites. These two tribes, instead of relying on the Lord to help them drive out the Canaanites, looked for ways to get around their problem by asking for more land and extra allocation. Do we sometimes not want to deal with problems in our lives and look for ways to circumvent the situation to feel better? Not facing up to the difficulties of life can only store up problems for the future. I say this carefully, that Christians have a greater resource than the nation of Israel. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us. Our focus must always be upon the Lord Jesus Christ for help in life's journey. Paul describes the resource that we have in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Chapter 18. The Tabernacle at Shiloh, and dividing the remainder of the land. In this chapter, we are informed that seven tribes were still waiting for their land allocation. The chapter commences in verse 1 with the establishment of the tabernacle in Shiloh, and stating that the land was subdued before the nation of Israel. But, as we have already noticed, it does not mean that the Canaanites were driven out, but rather there was not wholesale warfare with Israel, as found in the earlier chapters of Joshua. The remaining seven tribes were slack in going about to possess the land. Joshua admonished them for not going and taking possession of the land. Joshua once again takes the matters in hand to organize the distribution of the land. From the remaining tribes, men were selected to go through the remainder of the land, documenting and dividing the country into seven parts, and to return to Shiloh. We are told in verse 7 that the tribe of Levi was not to have an allocation of the land. The priesthood of the Lord was their allocation. We will get a more detailed allocation as to where the Levites would live later in the book of Joshua. Returning to the men who went out to describe the land, they came back to Joshua at Shiloh. And here Joshua cast lots, and the rest of the land is allocated to the seven remaining tribes. From verse 11 to the end of the chapter, we have the detail of the land allocated to the tribe of Benjamin. There is no indication as to whether the tribe of Benjamin drove out all the Canaanites or not, but at the end of the book of Judges, we find that some of the tribe are described as worthless. However, that is not for our consideration just now. The fact that the tribes of Israel did not conquer and drive out the nations as God intended stored up problems for the future. Israel, as a nation, started to worship the gods of the unconquered nations. Also, these nations sometimes oppressed Israel, and their unfaithfulness eventually leads to the nation going into captivity. One direct outcome of their unfaithfulness is seen in that the Romans are rulers over the land when our Lord Jesus Christ is born. Thank you for listening to the Truth for Today talk on Joshua, chapters 13 to 18, Joshua Nears Retirement, talk number T1395. Previous radio talks, more than 1,000, can be found on the truthfortoday.org.uk website. God bless.